Now I'm supposed to say who that was, huh?
Well, if you think you know who it was, but the important part is what you think of it.
Well, now... The use of the French horns in that... That horn sound sounded like things that... that Quincy, elements that Quincy likes to work with. Some of it didn't, it wasn't operated the way I've heard Quincy do it. He gets mm-hmm. more of those shrieks with his horns.
Yeah.
You know, whee! High things.
Yeah.
But, I grew up with big bands in Chicago. They used to have Basie and Ellington and Lunsford and Hines, and they had tons of them, and Benny Goodman, and everybody would come through town. And so I have dug big bands, and this is a modern 1962 big band sound that I dig. I like the way the organization of the piece.
Yeah.
It's returned, it's coherent all the way through. You don't get lost in it, sort of subjective maze.
Mm-hmm.
They keep bringing you back to a point of reference from which they take you off, and the solos are tasteful and swinging, and I like that very much. I think that I like to hear that done more and more. I'd like to hear organized jazz in the sense of taking a theme and following it through to its logical, organized possibilities, People who say that jazz has to be all improvisation, it's not true. Sure. Big band jazz has always been a combination of both.
That's
they weren't all just sitting there improvising.
That's right.
They would improvise at certain points, you'd have your solo flights, which would be a gas.
Yeah, be a balance between the two.
And I would like to see jazz do that even in larger works, And I like this.
Do you know the rating system? Five is the top, four is very good, three is good, two is fair, and one is mediocre.
Well, I say five, go.
Well, be careful, you might want to save the five for something even greater,
Well.
Four means very good. Five means sensational.
Well, all right, I'll be conservative. Let's say four.
Day by day.
So.
Whoever that is has a rich, kind of nice voice. And I like the arrangement of that. It's it doesn't say anything sensational to me.
No.
Not
to me.
It's a love song rendered tastefully enough.
Conventionally.
Right. I don't know who the singer is.
Osie
Smith has that kind of voice, but I haven't heard. I'm not familiar enough with him.
Yeah.
It's a good, strong voice. I'd like to hear him do some more. You should pardon the expression, ballsy material.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So he used to. Yeah. Before I say, you want to rate it? What'd you get? Two fair.
Well, three. I mean, it's good for what it is as far as it goes.
It's Joe Williams.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I sound like somebody imitating. I sound like somebody who was close to Joe Williams, but not Joe Williams.
Yeah. Well, he's making a lot of records like that now. It's gone completely pop bag, which I think is kind of a pity.
Well, it's rough. I tell you, it's rough to find material.
Yeah, but Joe's...
Well, it's kind of like about three tenors. Some very nice, swinging solos. The ensemble wasn't... The ensemble portion wasn't... much more than an excuse to get into the tenor work.
Yeah, that's right.
Into the solo work, but as far as it went, it was groovy. I say as far as it went because I like to see again. And you hear here, it's not perhaps fair to judge these guys for what they were doing, because by what I would like to see done.
Well, that's all
right. But I would like to see, again, more thinking out of jazz, ideas, of ideas, uh-huh. of more effort to make an emotional point.
Yeah.
You know, like that is coherent and decisive in its mm-hmm. way. This is very good as an illustration of the possibilities of the instrument and of each man's versatility with his horn.
Yeah.
But I would like to see him, you know, do some a little more social useful work.
Yeah, I see your point. So what do you say?
Oh, I say three is cool, yeah.
Well, it is now.
I feel drugged because I'm not able to come up with the names of who it is.
Well, that doesn't matter. I know somebody that probably is.
But like it's bedrock, you know, that's really, you know, it's so beautiful that when he's talking, he's setting it up and he's talking about, he says the great rabbit Slim, and then Slim's playing the piano, he said, yeah, you know, I'm great, yeah. with the piano. He reacts so beautifully.
Yeah.
It's, that's like, I don't, as I say, I don't know who it is, but he's one of my teachers. He's one of the guys who really laid it down and showed the possibilities of it.
That's right.
And it's got that beautiful kind of poetry. That's, you know, this folkish kind of poetry where he said, I'm not a fool, you can't put me in harness like a mule, you know, that kind of thing, which is really a vital kind of image, you know, poetic image. So whoever it is not just, you know, he's a street storyteller. He is the sense of minstrelry, mm-hmm. you know, not, he's in the spirit of minstrelry, not like the southern minstrels of, mm-hmm. at this time, but the early minstrel, the guy who had the story to tell, and he set it to music.
Bedrock,
yeah, it's really basic. It's beautiful, kind of. I'd give that, rating things for what they are.
Yeah,
you know, I would put that in four. Anyway.
Yeah,
Who is that?
His name is R.B. Stidham.
Never heard of him.
No,
Boy, whoever he is that's a whole man. That cat stands up to a big man and just blow, and he's right with it. That's beautiful. Yeah. It's a it's a big bassy type band.
It's a more sophisticated brand of blues. I thought it'd make it interesting.
Yeah, it plays all in the that's where it goes. Today, you know, with the band all in the cracks, and the singer standing up to it, you know, and still shouting and still swinging, and the horn or the tenor that came in there, everything was swinging and grooving in that.
It's good modern.
I dug that. You know, there again, that's where it's going. You know, that's where it's going dramatically.
Yeah.
You know, that's where it's going.
Yeah.
I keep thinking of this. Not just for where it is, you know, but where is it gonna go? Now it's got to go in that direction, you know. That's gonna be on Broadway.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's gonna be some swinging musicals, you know,
when
it happens, you know. And I would like to see this cat, whoever he is, with it.
Me too. Four, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Mechanical
phase. Right? Yeah, now that's a tune that Cannon and Nat recorded. And I don't remember the name of it, but as I say, I think it's a beautiful tune. It's a happy, one of the really happy kind of things.
And they wanted you to write lyrics for it, but you didn't get around?
No, they didn't ask me to. I just liked it. I heard it on this record with Nancy Wilson and Cannonball Adderley.
Oh yeah,
and I dug it, but this isn't the version that I heard, and I don't know whose that is, although I dig it too. You know, I like the, that horn is such a straightforward kind of statement, you know, unabashed kind of musical. Mm-hmm. He goes on into it and says it, you know, and then he cuts out like the Pied Piper, you know, and I'm going with him, you know. And
that's a good sound.
It's a very nice, strong trumpet sound, beautiful kind of thing. I like the piano interlude. I like that record very much. That's a four-star thing for me. I like that.
Okay.
Who was that? Well, I'm a Harry Belafonte fan. And so I like, you know, I tend to like a good deal that Harry Belafonte does. I like this. It's not the strongest thing he ever did, but it's a good, you know, it's a good dramatic kind of reading. And he knows how to give good readings. People kind of put Belafonte down, some people do, because he is so popular, I think, in a way. And popularity carries with it a certain tendency toward institutionalization.
Yeah, that's true.
You become institutionalized.
Yeah.
But that's not a vice. Necessarily.
No,
you know, here's a cat who is translating something from way back that needs to be translated and brought to the attention of masses of people.
Yeah.
And he's able to successfully do that.
That's true.
And this is a contribution,
mm-hmm.
as far as I'm concerned. You know?
Yeah, that's true.
So that, you know, if he can go to a place like O'Keefe Center in Canada and sing this before 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000 people, I don't know what the exact thing, but standing room only every night for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
More power to him, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, I dig what he's able to do mm-hmm. with this stuff. I have been really inspired by the progress that he has made in the business.
Yeah.
First of all, that, he went beyond just being oppressed in the business, you know. He went he became a part of the business.
Yeah.
And that's a gas. That's important because that's where it's got to go. There's mm-hmm. got to be Negroes in the producing end of the thing and who are mm-hmm. able to put together packages of things, and
he's certainly accomplished
And he's accomplished that,
yeah,
you know.
That's right.
And he's done it and still remained an artist, you know.
Yeah,
and whatever dues he has had to pay for toward the institution, the establishment,
mm-hmm.
in becoming this mass popular figure, I don't fault him for.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You know, I think that that he is one of the important artists
mm-hmm.
of the time. This particular song I would rate perhaps only about 3.5 mm-hmm. stars. Only because I've heard him do things that excited me much more, but perhaps, you know, I should hear that some more. That's often the case.
Well, that's an album of mostly folk things.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a singer with enough musicianship to be Betty Carter.
Hmm.
And of course, the song is Abby's lyric to Monk.
I didn't know Abby did those.
Yeah, that's Abby Lincoln's words.
Oh.
And I welcome that because I think Abby's a fine lyricist. You know, I've tried, you know, always in my conversations with her about writing to encourage her to do more and more because mm-hmm. she has serious statements to make, you know, whether I agree with them all or not.
Yeah.
She doesn't approach the thing lightly at all.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is interesting when you consider the blues lyric, I mean the jazz lyric writers, the lyricists who approach jazz
mm-hmm.
now, and I think more and more in the future, will tend to deal with much broader kinds of themes than Tin Pan Alley has done. John Hendricks, when you listen mm-hmm. to what John Hendricks is saying,
that's right,
is always talking to some life point.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's right.
And Abby does this. Abby doesn't just sit down to say Moon and June.
Yeah.
She sits down to say something about life that is more reflective than you find in pop music generally.
That's right.
So I'm really glad that singer, who is excellent, chose that material.
Yeah.
And Abby has recorded the same thing much up.
Yeah.
Tempo from that,
yeah.
But this one is a very valid kind of statement of a serious and good thing. Yeah. Who's the singer?
First of all, you didn't say anything about the fact that it was just voice and piano.
Oh, yeah.
Which
well,
I
you know, I got kind of lost, I guess.
Yeah, that's all it is.
Yeah, well, it's a piece of poetry.
Yeah.
And a poetic reading.
How would you read it?
I'd like to do something like that, where you didn't have to get too involved, where you have something to say,
mm-hmm.
to just focus on what it is that's being said.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I'd give that 4.
An album